This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
You know, people actually lease property, you know, from lessors. Instead of enjoying the use and enjoyment, they transfer that to a third party through subletting. That's what we're looking at today. Property speaking, Philip Schoeman is in the house. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Thanks. How are you doing, Philip?
Thanks for having me, as always.
Is it really an issue? I mean, if, say, it's your property, right? So then you bring me in and, you know, to rent your property. If I'm giving you rent, what's the problem?
Yeah, I could see you say that. So one thing we must remember is that the landlord will be liable for any contravention of any bylaws in the municipality. So usually what would happen is, because this is what we kind of see this a lot, where somebody would lease a property from us for 10 grand, and then they would rent it 2,500 per head. Per room, or like, you know, two people in a room. So then they'll make profit off this. But this is construed as illegal land use because the property is not zoned for students' accommodation. So now the landlord is going to be liable for any municipal penalties. So, you know, also, and that's just one portion of it. Also, what could happen is that these subleasing tenants will not stick to what the original terms and conditions of the contract was. You know, so, and you'll be speaking to the landlord or to the tenant, your idea of who the tenant is, if you're the landlord. And, you know, he will actually have no powers to kind of, you know, the talking, the communication will be delayed. The right message wouldn't come across. And in some cases, they'll even destroy the property.
So the contract is between the lessor and the lessee.
Yes, yeah, so if
so that contract does not apply to the, you know, subletting.
No, they have a separate agreement, which now also falls within the ambit of the law. So that lessor now also needs to stick to his agreement. But the problem is, what if his agreement with the landlord falls apart? Now, you know, and he's given notice. Now you end up getting to the tenant, and that he can't give them notice. The fines, where's that? Who's going to pay the fines? You know, because it can be quite expensive.
Is there an upside to this? Like, is there any good? Can any good come out of this? You know?
No, not really.
Really?
I think, you know, if we had to dream up a positive scenario, it'll probably be like you own 20 properties and you just not list for the hassle of multi-letting. You fine with the lessee subleasing because you're getting your money on time. He sorts out whether they pay or not, but he sticks to his agreements and he does this for 20 or 30 of your properties, effectively becoming his own Airbnb.
I was about to say, because it's giving, you know, like Airbnb vibes. And so if I rent, say for example, renting a house from you, and this is like what you're saying, him paying 10 grand or whatever, and from time to time, you know, people coming to Polokwane, and then I, for the weekend or whatever, still same scenario.
Again, if you just look at what Airbnb hosts have to deal with, it becomes a whole different thing in total. Okay. Let's say it's it's a whole different thing. Let's say it's students. Now you've given notice, and this tenant will tell you, which you don't even know who he is, but let's say you rock up at the property and you see, hey, here's a student. I'm not leasing to you.
Yes.
You know, he'll tell you, listen, I've paid 6 months or a year in advance.
Oh, God.
A lot of parents do that for students.
Yes.
You know, they'll pay ahead knowing their tuition and their lodging has been paid and covered for the year. So that gives a parent peace of mind. But now he's already paid the lessor or the lessee.
Lessee,
And you as the landlord have not received that money. How do you recover that then? Because you've got to effectively get them out now. The longer they stay, the more your municipal bill goes up.
So it becomes an issue between the lessee and the...
It becomes a mess.
Definitely. I mean, it has the potential. But then, first of all, how do I deal? I mean, with the scenario that you've just explained right now, you've rented something out to me, and then I'm only paying you a rental on a monthly, but you come to a point where you find out I'm subletting and people have paid in advance. How do you deal with finding out that a tenant has his own tenant?
So we do spot inspections to ensure this doesn't happen.
Sure, okay.
That's one of the benefits to renting through an agency.
Okay.
But what you'll have to do now is give the your tenant, which is the one person, give him notice that he's in contravention of your terms and conditions, mm-hmm. or in municipal bylaws or what have you. And then he'll have to now go and give notice, proper period, and hope he has an agreement with them that's not flawed.
Mm. Yeah.
And then he'll, as per his agreement, have to give them notice, also taking into account what the law says. So now you might find that he wrote in his, he didn't write a notice period in his lease. What if the guy did pay 6 months in advance? You've got to wait, you're going to have to either return his money and hope he still moves, because this is now the problem,
yeah.
is getting people evicted.
Sure.
You know, and I think it's an example we've used before, is what if it's used as a brothel?
Yes.
We've had that a couple of times where we've seen that somebody subleases and then they turn it into a brothel, which is obviously illegal land use. But the landlord's going to pay that fine.
Sure.
And he'll only notice in some instances when he gets the fine. This means it's probably been happening for two years. So it's always better to know exactly who your tenant is. This is why we pre-screen. This is why we ensure that we know who they are, do credit vetting and checks, how they pay. Students, you just have no control. It could be homeless people that they're renting to, or drug addicts. We've had that now where it's actually been turned into like a, what do you call that? Like a drug house.
Oh, wow.
Sure. But then, you know, lease contracts, do they usually provide against subletting though? Do we find clauses?
So here's the thing. If you download one off the internet or you know, you buy one at P&A, you'll find that sometimes it doesn't have them, that you have that clause, or other clauses that we find pertinent to our market. Our lease has been constructed in such a way to cater for the problems that we face up here in Polokwane, Limpopo, you know, so which might be different to what you find in Cape Town.
Yeah.
You know, so your lease needs to be tailor-made for your situation, and usually a downloaded one or a free one that you get off the internet doesn't necessarily have that sublease clause. Ours does, and any self-respecting rental agency should have that clause in. But sometimes people don't even think about these things. Usually it's somebody that saw, hey, I can make profit here, and then they try and do it. And some guys do make good profit like that. If you have three houses like this, you're making 10 grand each. That's a 30 grand salary.
At the cost of the property owner. Well, I think we've been warned this morning, and at least you have an idea of what to expect or what you could potentially be dealing with, the amount of headaches, you know, that we've just described here this morning. But Philip, thank you so much for coming through and just alerting us about this issue. Broker and owner of Remax, Philip Skuman.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.